This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Hi, everyone. We are the hosts of Like Mother, Like Murder, a true crime momcast.
You heard that right. We are a momcast, which is our unique twist in the true crime world.
What sets us aside is that our content is mainly mom-related, from missing moms to murdered moms.
To moms who committed the crime, survivors, and more.
We are getting started on our third season with over 100 episodes that you guys can go and binge. I am Rachel.
And I'm Heather. We drop new episodes every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts, at Like Mother,
Like Murder.
In Canada's east sits a little hamlet known as British Settlement. Its name probably doesn't leave much to the imagination as to how it came into existence. But it is today a small and quaint community just westish of Sackville. Well, what used to be known as Sackville. In 2023, it was amalgamated with Dorchester and became Tantramar. Both Tantramar, or Sackville, and British Settlement are southeast of Moncton. And in this quaint little community lived Mary Lou Barnes and her 11-year-old son, Larry Jr., who was referred to, at least by family, as Junior. Mary Lou was a very quiet woman who had moved into British Settlement with Junior in early 1995 when she separated from her much more gregarious and outgoing common-law husband of 15 years, Larry Mills, who worked as a long-haul trucker. Larry had stayed in Sackville, or Tantramar, and Mary Lou had made the commute daily to her job at Drew Nursing Home, where she had worked for the past 20 years. Junior attended Marshville Middle School, where he was a popular and well-liked student in seventh grade. He was described by their neighbor, Miss Hicks, as he was an exceptionally good little boy, whom often helped her with her yard work. On the evening of November 5th, 1995, Mary Lou talked with her half-sister Debbie around 9 p.m. on the phone. She then attended this hunting camp in town. Apparently, it's kind of a place where people come to socialize, so probably much like a community center. I'm actually not really sure on that. Mary Lou was, as I said, very quiet. She didn't drink, and she kept her private life very private. But she wasn't adverse to meeting with her neighbors to talk now and again. So Mrs. Hicks, her neighbor, saw her there that night. She didn't stay much past 11, as it was a Sunday, so she had to work the next day. Larry Sr. had Junior that weekend, and so he had dropped him off at around 8 p.m. at the house. He didn't actually go in and chat with Mary Lou, as they were trying to maintain a civil relationship for the sake of Junior, and had been kind of fighting a little bit recently, so he didn't want to risk starting anything with her, so he had dropped Junior off and then he had left. The next morning, Debbie, who's Mary Lou's sister, got a call from the Drew Nursing Home that Mary Lou had not shown up for her shift, which was very much unlike her. So Debbie swung by the house at around 9 that morning to check on them, assuming that maybe one of them had gotten sick or something like that. Debbie didn't get any answer at the door, and being that it was a small town, she had either a key for herself or the door was left unlocked. So she came in and the entrance opens into the kitchen. And she noticed that there was Junior's lunch money had been sitting on the counter where Mary Lou would usually put it the night before so that Junior could just easily grab it. The coffee pot was set, ready to be filled with coffee, so all that needed to be done is it would just be turned on, which was another normal part of Mary Lou's evening routine. The house was a small bungalow style. It was set off of a fairly rural road, and off to the side, peeking out from the hallway that led into the living room, she noticed there was a small pair of feet laying on the carpet. And Junior was in the hallway face down, and there was a pair of nylons tied around his neck, but there were no signs of any kind of struggle. Mary Lou was on her bed in her bedroom. She was also face down and also with a pair of nylons around her neck, but they were tied extremely tightly. She also appeared to have been beaten rather savagely, and the room was a bit messed up, so there had been signs of a struggle there. And when the police arrived and set up their police tape and were conducting their initial investigation, Larry Sr. had gotten word that something was going on at Mary Lou's place, and he demanded to be let inside to see what was going on. And he got kind of aggressive with one of the officers and was actually arrested and then was later released. So Larry Sr. was a bit of a suspect early on, as per usual for ex-husbands, boyfriends, girlfriends, and whatnots. He was known to be a little bit controlling. The marriage itself had been going through a little bit of a rough patch before Mary Lou had left earlier in the year. And even Larry conceded that they'd been arguing quite a bit lately, which is why he didn't bother going into the house to speak to Mary Lou when he dropped off Junior. But there didn't appear to be much of a motive for him to have killed his own son. Mary Lou and him had actually lost two babies shortly after birth before Larry Jr. had been born. So they considered him like a miracle baby, and Larry really doted on him. There also wasn't any violence in the relationship. So even though Larry was loud about things, the marriage had actually broken up because Larry had been having an affair. And he had actually moved in with a woman when they had separated. So if anyone would have been feeling kind of murderous, it probably would have been Mary Lou. And Larry had gone on TV asking anyone that might have information to come forward. He had displayed real tears, and it was obvious that he really loved his son and really thought a lot about Mary Lou. But police kept him under surveillance because you just never know about somebody. The nylon that had been tied around Mary Lou's neck was tied so tightly that there was DNA on them from the tight pulling on it. However, it was mingled with Mary Lou's DNA, and it was impossible to extract, like, and separate it out back in 1995. And police kept the cause of death for Mary Lou and Junior pretty tight-lipped during the investigation to preserve the integrity should someone maybe one day confess. It was not conclusively evident that Mary Lou had been sexually assaulted during her murder. There was actually no semen found on her or in her body, but there was some of it on the bed sheets. The medical examiner's consensus was that it was highly probable, but that he had maybe been interrupted, possibly by a curious and concerned 12-year-old boy wandering in from his bedroom, only to then be chased out and attacked before returning to finish Mama. There wasn't really a lack of leads to follow up on. Besides keeping an eye on Larry Sr., neighbors of Mary Lou told police that a guy named Martin Lowry, of no fixed address, was seen wandering people's backyards around the time of the murders. Martin had actually been known to police. He had at one time lived at the home where Mary had worked, but was currently living rough just outside of Moncton. He was also known to have had a little bit of a thing for Kathy. Well, who's Kathy, you ask? Well, Kathy was the new girlfriend of Larry Sr., the one that he had had his affair with and was now living with. They managed to track him down. He said that he had been in the area because he kind of likes to people watch, which I think means probably more like peep into people's windows, but he didn't say that. Anyways, he wasn't a fan of Larry Sr. He felt that he wasn't good enough for her, but he said that he was only friends with Kathy and he just felt a little bit protective of her. But just after he was questioned, as in about 6 hours later, he jumped in front of a truck and died. So that was a little bit suspicious. There was also the matter of a guy named Cameron. Turns out Cameron was Mary Lou's new boyfriend. They learned this because apparently he liked to brag about his sex life with Mary Lou. And he had been seen driving by the crime scene on the morning that it happened, when the crime scene tape had gone up. And instead of bothering to get out and ask what was going on or inquire about his girlfriend like a normal person would, he hightailed it out of there, like out of the scene altogether. And the police thought that was a little bit odd. So they questioned him as well. Now, he said that he had last seen Mary Lou the weekend before, and that he never spoke to her at all on the 5th or the 6th of November. He was supposed to spend some time with her on that weekend, but had changed his mind, which was something they also found a little bit odd. But Cameron offered to take a polygraph test, and he passed it. So they didn't have any reason to continue to suspect him. He was a fairly new boyfriend, and he hadn't really taken the leap to the level of passion that they felt it would have taken to work up to the level of rage that were these murders, particularly Mary Lou's murder. Next up, a woman named Vicky White came into the police station a few days after the murders. She said that her husband Ray had taken off on her. He was supposed to pick up their daughter from school, but had never shown up. And it turned out that he had taken off with her credit cards and with his gun. And she was feeling a little bit suspicious that he might have taken off out of fear of being caught and that he might have done something to Mary Lou and Junior. Vicky had worked with Mary Lou, and Ray had given both her and Mary Lou a ride home a couple of times. Ray always stared at Mary Lou in a way that made her uncomfortable. Ray had told Vicky he was out at the bar with some friends the night of the murders, but she didn't really believe him. And Ray White hadn't been on anyone's radar as a murderer, though. His background check came up with a rather lengthy record, but mostly for, like, drugs and theft. He had originally been from BC, and most of his charges were from there. About 20 years of things that had kept him in and out of prison. They found Ray coming out of a pizza joint in Wentworth Valley. He wasn't at first very interested in talking to the cops, but they were able to arrest him on possession of a firearm so that they could at least get him to sit down and talk to them about the murders. Now, suddenly, Ray didn't have a problem talking to them at all. He told them flat out that it was a contract killing and that some guy he knew, who of course he was never going to name, told him that he had done it. And the guy told him that he didn't know that the kid was going to be there and that he had walked in on the murder and had to be done away with. He did say that Ray had sold this guy some cocaine and that the man had paid for it with this gold chain that he had taken from Mary Lou as what he called kind of like a bonus for a job well done or something stupid like that. And this chain seemed to be something that Ray found really interesting because he described it in quite a bit of detail. I guess it was rather unique. The police found that an interesting tidbit as well and were feeling that hinky feeling that Ray was a little bit dirty.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
So on a hunch, the police took to Larry Sr. the jewelry that they had collected from Mary Lou's place. Now, men aren't normally good at noticing women's accessories, but you can bet if they bought it, they'll be looking for it when you're dead. I could probably dye my hair green and with red spots in it, and my husband probably wouldn't notice. But if I ever took off my wedding ring for like a half a second, he'd be all over that. And sure enough, it turns out that it was a gold chain that Larry had bought her on a trip to New York a number of years ago, and she never took it off. So he noticed right away from the other costume items that it wasn't there. And he described it exactly the way Ray had described it. Well, police are starting to feel pretty convinced that this is no contract killing by some guy that Ray knew, but that Ray had been the one that had killed Mary Lou and Junior as a witness. But without the DNA evidence that they couldn't match up, there really was no proof. However, having his picture plastered on the news as possibly involved did get the attention of one woman who worked as a real estate agent, and the man that she saw on TV was the same guy that had identified himself to her as Ray Parker. He had been interested in buying a house that she had listed. Instead, he was actually more interested in sexually assaulting her. So with her coming forward, they were at least able to get a conviction for her assault, which unfortunately only bought him 3 years behind bars. But the investigators were hopeful that during his sentence, they could maybe get some evidence that would convict him for Mary Lou and Junior's murders. After all, they still hadn't had a chance to sift through all of the evidence that they did have for something useful. And with him in prison, at least they knew where he was. And so when they got said evidence, he wouldn't have a chance to slither off back to BC. But in 1998, Swiss Air Flight 111 crashed off the coast of Peggy's Cove in Nova Scotia, killing 229 people. Now, normally a plane crash and a vicious murder of a young mother and son wouldn't be related events, and they weren't, except that the huge scale of the plane crash tied up the forensic lab services in Halifax for a couple of years, putting any evidence from Mary Lou and Junior's murders on the back burner. So after his 3 years were up, he was free again. But so sure were the police that he had been the guy, they put him immediately under surveillance, where of course he hightailed it back to Victoria, BC. And once he got himself settled there, they set up an undercover operation to try to get a confession out of him, by having an officer set up to play like a drug deal. Ray was easy pickings who dealt in drugs anyways. And one night, while packaging up some coke or something for a deal, he mentioned to the officer, who he didn't know was an officer, that a few years back he had done some coke and it had messed him up, and that two people had gotten what they deserved and that he had left no witnesses. And that the cops didn't know where he was now. Now, the police took that excitedly to the Crown Prosecutor's Office as a confession in November of 2000. Staff Sergeant Jacques Ouellette telling CBC, "We had received some information and we worked with different investigational techniques, and we have reached the point where we will forward the package to the Crown and wait for their comments. We went forward a year and a half ago with some information, and as a result of speaking with them, decided, like anything else, you only get one shot at doing the job the right way. So we went back to do some more investigating, and now we're back with the Crown again." Well, the Crown's comments were that, once again, it wasn't enough to secure a conviction on murder charges. Dejected and feeling defeated, they had to go back to Larry Sr., who had been on the police's back for 5 years at this point to get this bastard and put him away, that they still couldn't get justice, even though they were even more sure by this time that he was the guy than they had been 5 years ago. So they really had no choice but to patiently wait for the science of DNA to catch up so that they could isolate the samples from the two contributors. And in 2009, they tried their luck again. And Ouellette was able to announce that, quote, "Several weeks ago, new information was provided to the RCMP investigators That information assisted the police in securing evidence and corroborating evidence since we already had to lay charges in the death of both Mary Lou Barnes and Jerry Mills Jr. I know this has been a long and difficult road for the Barnes and Mills family. We have remained in close touch with the families to keep them informed on the progress of the investigation. Their patience and trust over the years as we have built this case is appreciated. And at the press conference that Raymond White's arrest was announced at, Larry Mills said, "Every time I now hear of a murder, read of a murder of a child, I break. I cry. I feel for them. I feel for every parent who loses a child because I didn't know before what it's like. Now I do, and I tell you, it's pure hell. If he is found guilty, I hope he rots in prison, slowly, very slowly. I know it might sound cruel to some of you, but you know, losing a mother or a father is one thing. Nobody wants to bury their child." So, at the age of 65, Raymond White was to stand trial for 2 counts of first-degree murder, but during the jury selection process, he decided to plead guilty to 2 counts of second degree instead. The Crown prosecutor, Stephen Holt, said that the events of that night are inside a black opaque box that only Raymond White can open. These questions will haunt the community until there is some answer. And that answer, of course, would never come. The only thing that Raymond White said during his sentencing was, "I'm sorry I dragged this out for 16 years. I know sorry doesn't cut it. I wish I had the courage to deal with this earlier." Larry Mills was emotional, you could say, during his victim impact statement, talking about how a big part of him died that day with his son and his ex-wife. "You never get over it. I have to live with this for the rest of my life. I've beat myself up time and time again. I'm just glad it's over. Finally, we can let Larry and Mary rest in peace." And Staff Sergeant Jerry Bellevue, who worked the case for really closely for the 13 years that it took for justice to come, this was during the town's first ever homicide investigation, he will never understand the motive behind it. Ray and Mary Lou had lived kind of close to each other and knew each other kind of, but there's no reason why he can think of why she would have been targeted at all. So he just simply said, "Justice was served. The right person will pay for the crimes that that person committed." And because life is very unfair, on May 22nd, 2013, Raymond White died from natural causes, never revealing why he had killed Mary Lou Barnes and her son, Larry Mills Jr. Adding to this unfairness, back in the late 1990s, Marshville Middle School, where Jr. had attended school, fundraised to build a memorial playground for him. There were 2 zip lines installed and then this plaque that was dedicated to Jr. and Mary Lou. And at the time of the dedication ceremony, Larry Sr. was overwhelmed that the community had remembered them in such a really great way. Now, this, of course, is not the unfair part. The unfair part is that someone from the Anglophone East School District decided that it wasn't safe to use this zip line anymore and had it dismantled, plaque and all, but didn't tell anybody that they were going to be doing that. So in 2022, Larry Sr. and Jr.'s friends from school were shocked and appalled to discover that this structure was just gone and that nobody had said anything to them about it at all. Donnie Steves, who had been Junior's best friend back in the day, said, "Quite honestly, it's disgusting. I don't even know how to say how I feel about it." And he added that he should still be here today, and he's not because someone was heartless, and his mom should still be here today as well. Angela Varner, who was another friend of Junior's, she recalled the efforts that they had put into getting this structure built in the very first place. "We did bake sales, anything that we could to raise money. The students all came together as a family in his name and did whatever we had to get something that would have hopefully lasted longer than it did. It was a fun piece of equipment. We worked to put it there and we would have all worked to keep it there." Now, the plaque from the zip line was found discarded in the school basement, and so it was given back to Larry Mills. And he was happy to have the plaque back, at the very least, but he said of the school board that it shouldn't be up to them to make decisions like this. "My family, relatives, his friends, they were all very upset and I want something done." that he would like an apology from them, but they have all declined comment on the issue. Larry Mills still carries a picture of Junior in his wallet. He told CBC, "I don't want my son to be forgotten. It's still very hard, very hard. And no parent knows unless they go through it." And that was the very unnecessary murder of Mary Lou Barnes and Larry Jr. Mills. And I hope that you're going to join me again next week for another sad and awful case. In the meantime, you just do your thing. Do not forget that there are a couple of ways that you can listen to the podcast ad-free and also get extra episodes, and that there is merchandise available on Spreadshop. Unfortunately, unless you have YouTube Premium, there really isn't a way to watch without ads. I wish that there was, but I'm just not at a place where I can do memberships and like bonus stuff here and there. YouTube is a really strange land, and I haven't really figured it out yet. I'll get like one video that gets like 100,000 views, and then the next 10 are like less than 200 views. I personally feel that my content is just as good as quality as some of the others that I've watched, and I don't really rely on something that I can't say the actual word of because it might get flagged. But you know, the stuff where they make fake stuff and then you can plug it into a search bar and it creates something for you. I can promise you that I will never use that. I actually enjoy the researching and the writing and all that stuff. So I don't know why I would ever let a computer do that for me. Anyways, that is that. And I will hopefully see you again next week. As always, thank you so much for listening.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy. And honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.